Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are now in our fifth and last Sefer book of the Torah proper for the Hebrew year 5781, entitled Devarim Deuteronomy. Parsha this week is our 52nd portion, entitled Vayelech, and He Went Out. In our Torah Parsha this week, we have finished the many weeks of Moshe's preparation for Israel to begin the next phase of their being ready to enter the land of promise. Leadership over Israel is about to change. Moshe will pass off the scene, and Joshua will take his place. This is a major transition, but one that Yahweh has been preparing Israel for. Moshe is laying the final foundations as he is about to transition out of his leadership role, and Joshua, is about to enter his. As usual, Moshe tells the good and the bad concerning Israel's future. He encourages Joshua, to trust in his time of preparation. Yahweh will be as faithful with him as he was with himself. Moshe doesn't pull any punches, yet he exhorts Joshua, to keep his heart on the altar, to always keep the Torah in its centrality along the way, and yield in trusting faithfulness to the Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness. Yahweh will be Nehaman V'Rachaman, faithful and true to Joshua, as he was with himself. Yahweh's word never changes. Moshe also prophetically speaks of the day of the coming Mashiach. The redemption that will come, Moshe commands Joshua, to keep his eyes lifted up always. Yahweh Sabaoth of hosts will finish the redemption for the whole house of Israel. Amen. May our Abba Yahweh give us a heart to believe him, to hear his promises and do his words. In like manner, we today who are encountering these words of Moshe afresh may well be the generation that has the possibility of seeing the restored nation of the whole house of Israel, both houses, Yehuda, Judah, and Yosef, Ephraim, believe the promises of our restoration, to in turn encounter the captain of our salvation, our Adon Lord Yeshua, who is working to bring us into the land of the promises, that we might become that nation that brings about his triumphant return, and will see the kingdom of Yahweh come into the prophetic promised fullness of its manifestation, citing Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27 through 34. As always, I do like to remind you, we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes. Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries, again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. We have now come to the end of the five-week-long speech we have been following in our parashot, or our portions, here in Devarim, or Deuteronomy. We have been allowed to touch the burden that rests upon the heart of Yahweh's dear servant, Moshe. He spoke as a father to his children. He pulled no punches. He was faithful and spoke the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now we come to the end. Moshe, who on the day he was born should have died back in Mitzrayim, Egypt, did not. His mother put him in a papyrus basket, an ark, and let him go into the Nile River. That selfless act released Moshe into the hands of Yahweh. He was delivered and lived to become Israel's greatest deliverer. He now turns toward Mount Nebo in Moab to ascend to Yahweh for the last time. We are about to hear and read Moshe's last word. It is a multifaceted message, one of hope, encouragement, sadness, sorrow, dark future intimations, and the promise that through it all, Yahweh is still Nehaman, Verachaman, faithful and true. We saw in chapters 29 and 30 of our present Sefer, Book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, Yahweh has renewed his original covenant at Mount Sinai a second time with the second generation of Israel. This renewal guarantees that regardless of how dark and ominous Israel's future will become, there is hope. Yahweh himself will complete his redemptive plan through his nation Israel and fulfill all he has promised to realize through his eternal purpose. Just as this chapter of Yahweh's dealings ends with the passing of Moshe, so a new chapter opens with the rising of a new leader, one Yehoshua, Joshua. He will lead Israel into the land of promise. This one points us to the promised coming of the greatest deliverer Israel and the world has ever seen, Yehoshua ben Yosef, Melech HaMelechim, King of Kings, Yahweh manifest in human flesh, Yeshua of Nazareth. Amen. Yahweh's faithfulness. We will be reading here from the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And Moshe went and spoke these Devarim, these words, unto Kol Israel, all Israel. And he said unto them, I am Mea Vezrim Shana, 120 years old today. I can no more go out and come in. Also, Hashem Yahweh has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Yarden, this Jordan. Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh, your mighty one, he will go over before thee, and he will make Shema, destroy these Goyim, these nations, from before thee, and thou shalt dispossess them, and Yehoshua, Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as Hashem Yahweh hath said. And Hashem Yahweh shall do unto them as he did to Sikon and to Og, Melachim, kings of the Emori, and unto the land of them whom he made Shema destroyed. And Hashem Yahweh shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all HaMitzvot, all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, and fear not, nor be afraid of their faces. For Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor abandon thee. Moshe opens this final portion of his address to Am Israel by giving praise to Yahweh's faithfulness in his life. He speaks to the fact he is now 120 years old. The reference given that he is no longer able to go in and come out is not a reference to some sort of physical frailty or sickness on his part. No, quite the contrary. As he affirms later in his final statements here in our Sefer, our book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7, and Moshe was Mea Vezrim Shana, 120 years old, when he died. His eyesight was not weakened, nor his natural forces reduced. The statement is in reference to the fact that it was because of Yahweh's discipline of him for smiting the rock in anger twice at Kadesh, citing Bamidbar Numbers 20. Aharon died shortly thereafter, and Moshe would not be allowed to cross over with Israel into the land of promise as he so deeply desired. He was now at the place where Yahweh's discipline must be exacted. Let me say something regarding this event. The Torah, along with the body of all the Hebrew scriptures, the Tanakh, as well as the Messianic writings themselves, Matthew through Revelation, all witness to a clear fact. Death is not seen as a friend of those whose trusting faithfulness is in Yahweh. The following are just some of the promises he made to Israel. The last is from Rav Shaul's letter to the Corinthian assembly and clarifies the truth concerning death. We are quoting from Shemot, Exodus chapter 23, verse 26, the second part of that verse. The mispar, the number of thy yamim, thy days, I will fulfill. And Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 through 33. You shall be shomer to do therefore as Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in Kol HaDarech, all the way which Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your Mighty One, hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your yamim, your days, in Haaretz, the land which you shall possess. Quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, I call Shemayim, the heavens, and Haaretz, the earth, to record today as witnesses against you, that I have set before you HaChayim, the life, and HaMavet, the death, HaBaracha, the blessing, and HaKalala, the curse. Therefore, choose Chayim, life, that both thou and thy Zerah, thy seed, may live. Quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last Oyev, the enemy, to be abolished is Mabet, death. Life is what Yahweh has promised those who embrace his ways as revealed in the Torah. It is not only life, but the full length of our days that we are promised. We are told to choose life. Death is no friend of those who believe and trust in Yahweh. Rav Shaul says death is the last enemy to be abolished. We can know daily victory over death incipient in its many forms of sickness, disease, and affliction, as well as the ultimate victory when our glorious Adon Lord Yeshua returns for his own. Why bring this up? In the traditional Jewish writings of the Talmud, the Mishnah, it is recorded that Moshe did not go quietly up Mount Nebo in Moab to die. No, in these writings it is recorded he did not go passively. He continued to ask Yahweh to let him live. Even our blessed Master Yeshua would not go quietly in death. He wrestled in prayer that night in the garden, citing Matityahu, Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. It was not until Abba Yahweh made it clear the execution stake and the cup, his death, were indeed one, then our blessed Master yielded himself to die for our redemption. Not my will, but yours be done. It was in death that Moshe yielded to make way for the next phase of Yahweh's plan through Yehoshua, Joshua. Through death will come life when Yahweh is allowed to be in control. Power of death must be broken. Fear must be driven out. Thus, we find this promise in the Sefer, the book of Ivrim Hebrews, quoting from Ivrim Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. Therefore, al, since the Yeladim, the children, share in the Basar va'Adam, the flesh and the blood of humanity, and Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, King Messiah, likewise shared in the same things, that through the histakus, the progression, the ascendancy of his mavet, of his death, he might destroy the one having power over mavet, death, that is, HaSatan. And he might release these as many as through Amat HaMavet, terror of death, were subjected to avdut, slavery, all the days of their existence. Thus, our Adon Lord Yeshua removed the power of death from HaSatan, may his memory be blotted out forever, who lorded it over all mankind in fear. In like manner, Moshe points to what Yahweh will do through Yehoshua, Joshua, as Israel goes over into the land, just as the kings they have already faced on their way to the Yarden, the Jordan, were given into their hands, so will the kings of the seven nations in the land also be brought to destruction. They were to dispossess their enemies and possess their inheritance. Yahweh will not fail them. They must have no fear, but be strong and very courageous. Yehoshua, Joshua, officially recognized as Israel's leader. After having charged the nation to follow Yahweh's command to go in and possess the land, Yehoshua, Joshua is officially instituted as Israel's new leader. Moshe sets him before the entire nation and with almost the same words charges him to follow after Yahweh. No fear, only be strong and very courageous. Yahweh will be faithful to fulfill his promise. We are quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. And Tashem Yahweh, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither abandon thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The Torah given with instructions. We are quoting here from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 through 13. And Moshe wrote this Torah and delivered it unto the Kohanim, the priest, the Bnei Levi, sons of Levi, which bore the Aron, the Brit Hashem, Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, and unto Kol Ziknei Israel, all of the elders of Israel. And Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of every Shevashanim, 7 years, in the Moed, appointed time of the Shnat HaShemitah, year of release, in Chag HaSukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, when Kol Israel, all of Israel, is come to appear before Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh, your mighty one, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this Torah before Kol Israel, all Israel, in their hearing. Gather the people together, Anashim and Nashim, and Banim and Ger, men and women and children, and the sojourner that is within thy Shirim, your gates, in order that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear Hashem Elohekim, Yahweh, your mighty one, and be shomer, on guard, to do kol divrei HaTorah HaZot, all the words of this Torah, and that their banim, their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear Hashem Elohekim, Yahweh, your mighty one, as long as you live in Hadamah, the land, whither you go over Yarden, Jordan, to possess it. Now, Moshe begins to give instructions concerning this Torah that is being given to Israel. It would be good at this point to make a clarification as to what is meant by the phrase, this Torah. We have learned in our parashot, our portions, as we have studied the Torah proper, that there can be several facets or applications Yahweh may wish to bring to our understanding. Number one, the Torah proper. This would be the first five books of the Hebrew writings or the scriptures, the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Ketuvim, the writings. These first five books are the root of all other scripture. Number two, the rest of the books of the Tanakh or the Hebrew writings, the scriptures, Yehoshua, Joshua, Malachi to Malachi, including the books of the Messianic writings, Matityahu, Matthew, through Hitgalut, Revelation. However, in our present Parsha, when the phrase, this Torah, is found, it is to be understood in a separate, specific context. It is meant to identify the actual Sefer, Book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, itself, and not the entire five Sefirot, books of the Torah proper. Let's examine this further. The passage that is quoted above is from the Sefer, the book of Shemot, Exodus. It is concerning Yahweh's instructions as to what is to be placed into the actual Aron Brit, the Ark of the Covenant. We're quoting from Shemot, Exodus chapter 40, verse 20, the first part of that verse. And he took and placed Ha'edut, the testimony, that is, the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, into Ha'aron, the Ark. The above verse clearly shows what this is. It is the Ha'edut, the testimony, defined as the stone tablets upon which are written the Asaret Devarim, the 10 words. This is what Moshe put into the Ark of the Covenant. In our earlier study of Parsha 17, Yitro, we looked at a very interesting concept. We learn that each of the Asaret HaDevarim, the 10 words, themselves may be used as headers. In turn, each of the 613 commandments of the Torah were actually to be placed under each of these in relation to their topical correlation, citing 248 positive and 365 negative instructions. You can click the link below in our actual Torah Parsha and you can take a look at this. Just as a note, this is a rabbinic insight. However, in our present Torah Parsha, Moshe is given a different instruction as to where this Torah is to be placed. We're quoting here from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 25 and 26, that Moshe commanded the Leviim, the Levites, which bore the Aron Brit Hashem, Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, saying, take this Sefer HaTorah, this book of the Torah, and put it at the side of the Aron Brit Hashem Elohim, Ark of the Testimony of your Mighty One, that it may be there for an ed, a witness against thee. Please note, the Leviim, the Levites, were instructed to place this Torah at the side of the Ark of the Covenant. This was for two specific reasons. Number one, it was to be a witness against the B'nai, the children of Israel, for reasons we will discuss more fully below. And number two, it was to be taken out every seventh year, citing the Shemitah year of release, and read to all of Israel who were gathered for the Moed appointed time of Sukkot Tabernacles, which is also the third and last ascension feast of Yahweh, so that each generation might hear the words of this Sefer, this book. This way, the words of this Torah might be kept fresh on the hearts of all Israel throughout each generation. Yahweh appears to Moshe and Yehoshua. We're reading here from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 14. And Hashem Yahweh said unto Moshe, behold, thy yamim, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Yehoshua, Joshua, and present yourselves in the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, that I may give him a charge. And Moshe and Yehoshua, Joshua went and presented themselves in the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. Yahweh calls for Moshe and Yehoshua, Joshua, to go to the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. There, Yahweh appears to them both, citing Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 31 and verse 15. Also citing, any time Yahweh allows himself to be physically seen in the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, it is not Yahweh, Abba, Father, himself that is being seen. It is a temporary manifestation of himself as the Son, the Word, citing Micah chapter 5, verse 2, also Mishlei Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. As a further comment, we do not have the space here to deal with this subject. We do give a fuller measure of this revelatory insight in our just recently republished three-part teaching series, The Sacred Secret of Godliness, and you may click here on the link in our teaching and go and check that out. At this point, Yahweh begins to speak with Moshe prophetically concerning the future as it pertains to the nation of Israel. It is not a pleasant tale by any means. We will look more in depth into what is said momentarily, but for the time being, let me quote what Moshe says concerning Yehoshua, Joshua. We are quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verses 22 and 23. Moshe, therefore, wrote this Shirah, this song, on that day, and taught it the B'nai Israel, children of Israel. And he gave Yehoshua ben Nun, Joshua, son of Nun, a charge, and said, Kazakh, be strong, and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, into Haaretz, the land which I swore unto them, and I will be with you. Yahweh speaks through Moshe concerning Yehoshua, Joshua, in prophetic instruction. Yehoshua, Joshua is instructed to be strong and of a good courage. Yahweh is raising him up to lead Israel into the next phase of their destiny, to possess the Nachala, the inheritance of the land. He caps this encouragement with the phrase, I will be with you. I will hide my face. Now we will go back and look at the prophetic words Yahweh gave to Moshe concerning the future of Israel. We're quoting here from Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verses 16 through 22. And Hashem Yahweh said unto Moshe, behold, thou shalt sleep with Avoteka, your fathers, And this people will rise up and play the harlot, going after the Elohe Nechar Haaretz, the gods of the foreigners of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my brit, my covenant, which I have cut them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in Yom Hahu, in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and ro'ot rabot, many evils, and zorot, troubles, shall befall them, so that they will say in Yom Hahu, in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because Elohai, your mighty one, is not among us? And it shall come to pass, when ro'ot rabot, many evils, and zorot, troubles are befallen them, that this shirah, this song, will testify against them as an ed, a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their zarah, their seed. For I know their yetzer, their inclination, in which they go about. Even now, before I have brought them into Haaretz, the land which I swore. Moshe therefore wrote this shirah, this song, on that day, and taught it the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel. If you remember, in the earlier parsha, the Etkanan, and I pleaded. Moshe besought Yahweh concerning the judgment of not being able to go with Israel into the land. After much pleading, Yahweh emphatically responds with no. However, he does show Moshe a measure of mercy by taking him up to the top of Mount Pisgah. It was there that, according to the Jewish traditional writings of the Talmud and the Mishnah, that Yahweh spread out a panoramic vision of Israel's history, yet future. In that prophetic moment, Moshe saw many wonderful things. Israel's entrance into the land, the future Hakal, the temple, even the Mashiach. However, Yahweh in his mercies did not allow Moshe to see Israel's future unfaithfulness, their departure from the Torah and his covenant, their going after false mighty ones, their captivities and scatterings into all the nations for their iniquities, their Torahlessnesses. Here in our present Parsha, Yahweh reaffirms these things to Moshe. However, he uses a peculiar phrase to describe how he will respond to Israel during these future times of unfaithfulness as a nation. The phrase is, "I will hide my face." What does this mean? Basically, "I will hide my face" means Yahweh will no longer be in present manifestation, his Shekinah, his manifest presence, as he has been with his Israel in times before. Throughout the Torah, we find that Yahweh uses the phrase, "I will be with you," and also, "I will not forsake you," as a means of encouragement to Israel. However, Yahweh told Moshe after Israel's sin with the golden calf, he would heed his intercessions not to forsake Israel. However, he would not go with them in physical manifestation as he had before. Instead, he would send an angel with them. Moshe cried out that this was not acceptable. We are quoting here from Shemot, Exodus, chapter 33, verses 15 through 16. Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not because you're going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" The Shekinah, the manifest presence of Yahweh, is the distinguishing mark that identifies Israel from all the other nations of the earth. Without it, Israel is no different than any other nation. Moshe knew this. As wonderful as having an angel go with Israel was, even though they would still be brought into the land, Moshe knew it was not enough. Beloved, the Shekinah, the manifest presence of Yahweh, is a phrase whose implication is synonymous with the full manifestation of his face, his kavod, his glory. We must ask ourselves, does it really matter? Can we even tell the difference? Or are we like the Kohanim, the priest in Gibeah, after David came and took the ark away to Jerusalem? There was no Shekinah, manifest presence there. Yet, the Kohanim priests continued to carry on their duties day in and day out as though nothing had changed. What about us today? While it is true that as a nation, Israel no longer experiences Yahweh's presence in its full Shekinah glory, however, that should not preclude His manifestations to us as individuals or in our corporate gatherings as the body of Mashiach in our locales. Read the Sefer, the book of Maasim of Acts in the Messianic writings. Those who trusted in Yahweh experienced Him in manifestation. While we wait on the fullness of Yahweh's restoration of His whole house in this day, we must experience the manifestations of His presence individually and corporately, wherever we are now. There is no Amen at the end of the Sefer, the book of Maasim of Acts in the Messianic writings. Why? Because this Sefer, this book is still in the process of being written. Beloved, Yahweh's manifest presence in us as individuals and as corporate gatherings of the body of Mashiach in local areas should be the norm, not the exception. We will never see accomplished within us individually or corporately Yahweh's full intention in the restoration of the whole house of Israel without His presence in manifestation. It will take Yahweh's supernatural influx to finish what has been promised. No one, individual or corporate ministry, can accomplish this. It is about Yahweh's glory. He will not share His glory with anyone or anything, citing Yeshayahu, Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Mark it down. The door into Yahweh's presence is always marked by the execution stake, citing Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 24. Just as surely as having once entered the Mishkan, the tabernacle compound, the first thing encountered was the Mizbaach HaNechashet, the bronze altar, a representation of the physical execution stake. No flesh may glory here. No matter how learned, how eloquent, how equipped, there is only one requirement. All who would pass beyond this point must die. Die to themselves. Die to their fleshly pedigrees. Be reduced to emptiness in order to be filled with Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, in the power of resurrection life. Beloved, I come out of that section of the Church of Christendom known as the Pentecostal Charismatic Element. I have tasted the glorious presence of Yahweh in manifestation. I have known times of such influx of the divine anointing when all I could do was lie before Him. I have seen demons driven out, sickness healed, miracles manifest. Yet I have also seen the excess. What happens when man pushes the limits just to see or feel something? It will always be the case as long as the flesh can divert its will from the way of the execution stake. Regardless, in this day of the restoration of the whole house of Israel, let us turn from our excesses. Let us turn from our infringing upon touching the glory. Let us embrace the principle of the execution stake and cry out to Yahweh until the heavens open above us and within us, and we are filled with the genuine manifestation of Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness. What Yahweh did in those days of our journey through the Church of Christendom was a foretaste of His future glory. Today, for those of us who have been given chesed, grace, and rachamim, mercies, to have our eyes open to know who we are as the nation of Israel in restoration, we must be filled. We must be immersed in Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh, His Spirit of Holiness. Go read the 11th chapter of the Sefer, the book of Ivrim, Hebrews. Those listed there in Yahweh's Hall of Fame of Faith all knew the power and manifestation of Yahweh. It was the norm, not the exception. Will you echo the words of Moshe? If you do not go with us, if you do not anoint us, if you do not pour your Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of your Holiness, upon us, we will not go. Here's the truth. If He does not, we are destined to fail. There will be no restoration. And if there is, it will be because someone, somewhere else, received what we did not. I cannot and I will not accept that possibility. O Yahweh, you have hid your face from us, the returning house of Israel. We have failed you, just as you said it would be. But O Abba, this is the hour of restoration. This is the hour you told us would come. Hear our cry. You have caused us to know and realize who we are, the restored, returning house of Yosef Ephraim. You have awakened in us the holy reality, and now we stand as it was with our avot, our fathers, before us at the waters of the Yarden, the Jordan River. We cannot do this in our own strength. Without the heavens being opened above us, we cannot finish what you have raised us up to do. Therefore, we humble ourselves. We empty ourselves before you. Immerse us in your Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of your holiness. Saturate us in your presence and get what you want. Do all you will. Finish what you have started. Let us be that generation of Israel that breaks through so you may have back what you have longed for, a whole house of Israel, that there might be one king, one shepherd, one sheepfold, and one kingdom. Amen and amen. The fullness of Teshuvah and repentance. Beloved, do you know what will bring Yahweh's answer to the prayer above? It is found in our Parsha from last week. Nitzavim, you are standing. Read the opening verses. What is the trigger that will cause Yahweh to respond to the nation of Israel here? It is Teshuvah, repentance. We're reading from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 2. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the Baracha, the blessing, and the Kalala, the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt cause them to return to thy heart among Kol Hagoyim, all the nations, whither Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, hath driven thee, and shalt return unto Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, and shalt obey his voice, the Torah, according to all that I command thee today, thou and thy banim, Bekol Lavavka, Bekol Nefsheka, you and all your children, and all of your heart, and all of your soul. Now, here is Yahweh's response to that generation's full spirit of Teshuvah, repentance, quoting from Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. That then Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, will bring you back from the Golut, the exile, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from Kol Ha'amim, all the nations whither Hashem Eloheka, Yahweh your mighty one, hath dispersed thee. Please note, the trigger was not that they learned Hebrew first, or that they began wearing Hebrew-style garments, read out of Hebrew-style Bibles, etc. Those things may be the fruit of this one thing, but it is not the thing. The one thing was a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, citing Tehillim, Psalms 51, verse 17. Why? Because Yahweh, by his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness, broke through into their heart. There, the revelation began to dawn as to who they were. They were not merely a member of something called church. The realization became clear. We are Israel. In that moment, their heart opened to see their relation to the greater whole. Not only did their Savior have a Hebraic root, so did they. Deuteronomy 30 came alive in the heart. I remember standing in Barnes & Noble that day, pulling that Jewish book off the top shelf. As I opened it to the front, I was looking at the back. And as I opened it to the back, I was looking at the front. There, in that moment, the reality began to break upon my heart. That's why I've wanted to read backwards all my life. Well, you can't do that with English. That's the reason why I read magazines from back to the front. I was trying to satisfy the desire to read backwards. Why? Because Hebrew is read from the right to the left. The Hebraic root Yahweh had left in my generations was being awakened at that moment. It was Abba's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, nudging me. Wake up, son. Wake up. It's time to realize who you are. I stood there in that aisle, wiping the tears from my eyes. It was the same when I came to realize the reality of the Torah, and that it was the center and circumference of all Scripture. My heart broke, and I literally laid on my bed weeping, remembering how I used such terrible words to describe Yahweh's Torah as a pastor in the church system of Christendom, calling it law, bondage, etc. Crying for Yahweh to forgive me, He did. And the journey into this restoration and the Hebraic deepened. Now, if you read on down in chapter 32, verse 9, you will find Yahweh's response to your teshuvah, to your repentance. It says, He will rejoice over you. Reading Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 30, the last part of verse 9. For Hashem Yahweh will again rejoice over thee for tov, for good, as He rejoiced over Avotecha, your fathers. Here is what is so powerful over this. Now stay with me here as we go on. Rejoice in Hebrew is spelled Sin Yod Sin, read right to left, and is pronounced Sus. The literal meaning of the Hebrew lettering alone is El Shaddai's hand of blessing. Our being awakened to remember who we are will cause Yahweh to extend His hand to us in blessing. But there's more. In Hebrew, the letter Sin can also be pronounced as Sheen. Now adding the Hebrew letter Nun to the end, you have the Hebrew word Shushan, which can mean lilies. However, it may also be a kind of ancient musical instrument resembling pipes, whose shape is like a lily. There are some scholars that say it may have been likened to the Scottish instrument, the bagpipe. Nonetheless, it does remind you of the verse in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. It speaks of a prophetic future time of Israel's being gathered by Yahweh back to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and His response of joy and rejoicing over her with singing. We're reading from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And in that yom, in that day, it shall be said to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands hang limp. Hashem, thy God, your Elohim, your mighty one, amid thee is Gibor, is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over thee with simcha, joy. He will quiet you in His ava, His love. He will joy over thee with singing. The timing of the above verse is set in the millennial kingdom, a time when Israel will be gathered back to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the city called Yahweh's daughter. Yahweh rejoices over her with singing and joy. He will play the pipes of joy at her being restored to His wedding gift, the land of Israel. However, preceding this, Israel will awaken to herself and come to her senses, remembering who she is, and will begin to make teshuvah, repentance, citing Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Yahweh responds with joy and rejoicing here too. It should cause us to realize how much Yahweh yearns for Israel's our return and how full His heart is as He sees us awakening. The prophetic culmination, the return of the King. Having said all of the above, what is the culmination of all we have been speaking of? Why the teshuva, the return to the understanding of who we are, Israel? It is nothing less than the return of our Melech, Mashiach, Yeshua, our King Messiah. It is the goal of the Torah to become acclimated and, in our case, as the returning house of Yosef Ephraim, reacclimated to our Hebraic heritage. We, along with our elder brother Yehuda, the Jewish house, will be made again the one whole house of Israel, the true bride of Yahweh. A bride made clean without spot or wrinkle. Only a bride immersed by Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness in the Torah, will understand how that process is to be achieved. With the above in mind, it is no accident that the weekly Haftarah portions from the prophetic books Yeshayahu, Isaiah, and Malachi of the Tanakh Hebrew Scriptures align so perfectly with these portions from the weekly Torah. This is so beautifully witnessed here this week in the Haftarah portion, which is Yeshayahu, Isaiah 61, verse 10 through chapter 63, verse 9. The question is asked, reading Yeshayahu, Isaiah 63, verse 1, "Who is that cometh from Edom with crimson begadim garments from Bosra?" Before we answer this, let's digress for just a moment to look at the previous chapter. It is here we are presented with the marriage preparations of the bride. We will be quoting from Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. And we read, "For the sake of Zion, will I not hold my peace, and for the sake of Jerusalem, I will not remain quiet, until her tzedek, her righteousness, go forth like Noga, brightness, and her Yeshua, her salvation, like a blazing lapid or torch. And the goyim, the nations, will see thy tzedek, your righteousness, and kol melachim, all kings, thy kavod, your glory. And thou shalt be called by a shem kadash, a new name, which the mouth of Hashem Yahweh shall designate. Thou shalt also be an ataret tiferet, a crown of beauty, in the Yad Hashem, in the hand of Yahweh, and a tanif melucha, a royal turban, diadem, in the palm of thy God, your Elohim, your mighty one. Of thee it shall no more be said, Azuva, forsaken, neither of thy land shall it any more be said, Shemame, desolate, but thou shalt be called Ketziva, my delight is in her, and thy land Bula, married, for Hashem Yahweh delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a bochur, a young man, marrieth a betula, a virgin, so shall thy benim, thy sons, marry thee. And as the koson, the bridegroom, rejoiceth over the challah, the bride, so shall thy God, your Elohim, your mighty one, rejoice over thee." All of the above is a description of Israel, the bride of Yahweh. He, Yahweh the Abba Father, has overseen the journey of the bride. He has passed through the many stages of her preparation, even the darkest and most devastating. Yet she stands in the glory of her redemption, no longer forsaken and desolate. She has been given a new name. She has become Yahweh's delight. Just as the bride has been restored, so has the land of her inheritance. She is called married. All things are new. The bridegroom, Yahweh the Son, rejoices over his bride. Yahweh the Abba Father rejoices too. Now let's consider the bridegroom. This brings us to chapter 63 of Yeshayahu, Isaiah. It is here we see the great redemptive process that was necessary for the bride, Israel, to pass through, a process just as needful for the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, the bridegroom. We're going to be quoting from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 1 through 9. "Who is this that cometh from Edom with crimson begadim, garments from Bosra? This that is glorious in his apparel, striding in the greatness of his koach, his strength. It is I speaking in tzedakah, righteousness, mighty to save. Why art thou, Edom, red in thine apparel, and thy garments, like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the Amim, the peoples, the nations, there was none with me. For I will trample them in mine wrath, that is, Mashiach's work of wrath, and trod them down in my fury, and the juice of their life blood spattered upon my garments, and I stained all my raiment. For Yom Nakam, the day of vengeance, is in mine lev, my heart, and my Shanat Gula, the year of redemption, is come. And I looked, and there was no Ozer, no helper, and I was appalled that there was no supporter. Therefore, mine own Zeruah, my arm, wrought salvation for me, and my wrath, it upheld me. And I will trample down the Amim, the nations, in mine wrath, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will pour out the juice of their lifeblood down on the earth. I will rehearse the chasadim, the loving kindnesses of Hashem Yahweh, and the tehillot Hashem, the praises of Yahweh, according to all that Hashem Yahweh hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the Bayit Israel, the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his rachamim, his mercies, and according to the multitude of his chasadim, his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, banim, sons that will not be sheker, false. So he became their Mashiach, their Savior. In all their zoros, their trouble, he was afflicted. And the Malach, the angel of his presence, saved them. In his Ava, his love, and in his mercy, he redeemed them. And he lifted them up and carried them kol imei olam, all their days, literally past, present, and future. Within the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, Edom has represented the antithesis to Yahweh's nation of Israel. As a people, Muslim and Arab nations, driven by the spirit of Esau, it has represented the desire for the destruction and annihilation of Yahweh's chosen nation, Israel and its people from the Jewish house. Yet, in our passage above, the question is asked, who is this that is coming from Edom? As we examine this closely, it will become surprisingly clear. First off, the spelling of Edom in Hebrew is Aleph Dalet Yod Mem, read right to left. Hebrew is a very versatile language. Depending on vowel placement, it could be pronounced as Adam, as in man. It would then read, who is this coming from man? It could also be Adama, or earth, making the question, who is this coming from or up from the earth? Add to this the next word, crimson or dyed. The word is chomutz, which is a derivative of the word chametz or leaven, which in scripture can be a type or picture of sin. Further, this same word can also mean in Hebrew dyed, as in the process of coloring. Why is this important? Because in verse 2 above, the question is asked, why art thou Adom? Same word in Hebrew as Edom, and its meaning is red in thine apparel and thy garments, like him that treadeth in the winepress. The answer, I have trodden the winepress alone. Now hold this thought as we go on. Next, the above is connected to the word begadim, the plural of beged, the Hebrew word for clothes. Now, it is interesting because the literal meaning of beged in Hebrew is treachery or deceit. This is because what do clothes do? They cover. So, in a sense, they hide. Thus, the Hebrew also uses beged in its inference of hiding to also define the act of being treacherous or deceitful. Going further, the word Bozrah, a pastoral city in ancient biblical times, was also the capital of Edom, modern-day Jordan. It means sheepfold. Bear with me here. Abba is desiring to bring something out that is not readily apparent to our understanding. In our verse, this one pointed to as coming up from Edom is glorious in his apparel. The Hebrew is Hadar Labush, which means he puts on his esteemed, honored apparel. Finally, we read, this one is striding in his greatness. The Hebrew word used for striding is tzazah. The word means to bend, bow, or be poured or emptied out. So, having gathered all of the above, what is it that Yahweh is desiring us to see? We have learned through our studies here in Devarim Deuteronomy, Yahweh has hidden many messages for his people within the Hebrew text, messages that were to be revealed at their proper time. What is here when we piece all of the above together? What we have amassed may literally be translated out as, who is the man that is coming? that has taken on the leaven, the treachery, the deceit from the sheepfold, who has now put on esteem and honor, and has poured himself out for us in his strength and power. He answers, "It is I who speaks in righteousness and is mighty to save. Beloved, it is none other than our own Master, Adon Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah." There is such a convergence here of conflict over this nation, Israel, identified as his people, citing Yeshayahu, Isaiah 63 and verse 8. The conflict is spread over time past as well as time further into the future at the end. We read above in verse 9, the first part of Yeshayahu, Isaiah 63, "In all their zoros, their trouble, he was afflicted, and the Malach, the angel of his presence, saved them. In his Ava, his love, and in his mercy, he redeemed them." We are told here that those ones Yahweh loved at the end were in trouble. It was for them that he was afflicted. What a terrible affliction our Master Yeshua suffered on that physical execution stake, as our Say Elohim, the Pesach, Passover Lamb of the Mighty One. He was the last Adam and the second man, citing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 47, the earthy man who took on our likeness among the sheepfold of humanity, who as a result could bear our leaven, our treachery, our deceit in his mercy and redeem us, our blessed Adon Lord Yeshua. He brought an end to all that the sin of Yahweh's original man, the first Adam, who had released corruption into creation as the second man, Yahweh the Father's manifestation of himself as his word, the Son, made flesh by the power of his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of his holiness. Our Adon Lord Yeshua was raised in resurrection. As a result, Yahweh is able to raise up a new humanity, the redeemed nation of Israel, many sons unto glory, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. He accomplished this through his own resurrection. The word used in verse 9 for redeemed is the Hebrew word spelled Gimel, Aleph, and Lamed, Gaal. Its noun counterpart is Goel, and it defines the Hebraic concept of a male person from within a family who is designated with the responsibility of administering justice for those within the family unit on their behalf when needed. The Goel was known by the title of Kinsman Redeemer. Yahweh became our Goel, our Kinsman Redeemer, when he sent forth the manifestation of himself as the Son, our Adon Lord Yeshua, the Word to take on human flesh. We won't take the time here to go into this concept in depth, only to identify that this was the ministry of our Adon Lord Yeshua. Further, we are told immediately following Yahweh identifying himself in manifestation as our Goel, that he will lift up those who are being redeemed. Does it look familiar? What about our English word used to describe the care of infants, such as pre and post natal. Next is the promise, he will carry them. The meaning is to sustain. Yahweh created us, redeemed us, and he alone will sustain us, that we might always find rest and comfort in his love. Can we not see the glory of Yahweh's love as we look back to the redemption he has provided through the death, burial, and the resurrection of his Son for us? But there is more. Most translations render the last portion of verse 9 above as all the days of old. However, the phrase in Hebrew is Kol Yomi HaOlam. This literally translates out as all my days, implying past, present, and future. Why is this important? Because our trouble, making us needful for redemption, not only points back for our spiritual rebirth, but also points ahead to the future. As Israel, there is also a time of trouble awaiting us, prophesied in both the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, and in the Messianic Scriptures, Matthew through Revelation. It is known as the time of Jacob's Zoros, or Jacob's Trouble, citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 30, and also Matityahu, Matthew chapter 24. Beloved, Yahweh has even this future time of great travail covered for all who know who they are in relation to the whole house of Israel. We looked at this in our previous parsha, Nitzavim, you are standing. Yahweh has a safe zone for all those who know who they are as Israel. It is Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, and the hills of Samaria, citing Joel chapter 2, verses 30 through 32. As we have seen, there is no secret rapture or catching away. There is no biblical pattern for that, such as Israel in Mitzrayim, Egypt, and the three Hebrew children in the furnace. Yahweh, his way is not up. It is through. He alone can save. He alone can provide the way. We are seeing this right here in our portion. He has made a way for his people, Israel. Even now, he is calling. The redemption for Israel is forever and in every situation. Even in the dark days of the coming Zoros, the trouble, the tribulation, Yahweh is making the way. It's why we at Gates to Zion Ministries are publishing these Torah studies. It's not to expand our brains with more knowledge or to simply learn Hebrew for the Hebrew's sake. No, it is so we may become acclimated to who we are, the returning house of Yosef, Ephraim, Israel, to be ready to become one nation again, no longer for our elder brother to be called the Jewish house, Yehuda, Judah, or the northern scattered non-Jewish house to be known as Yosef, Ephraim, but that together we might be called Hine HaKol Beit Israel, behold the whole house of Israel, to acclimate all who will listen and receive the revelation of Yahweh to be ready. There is a secret place of the Most High, Tehillim, Psalms 91. Yahweh can hide us in plain sight when necessary, but there is a time coming when he will sound the shofar of return for all those who know his voice, citing Yochanan, John chapter 10, verse 27. Those who have been listening, preparing, rehearsing, returning in their hearts through the voice of his living Torah, Adon Lord Yeshua, our Melech King, these will experience the might, power, and glory of his deliverance. This is the day. This is the hour he is preparing. Let all who have ears to hear what Yahweh is saying by his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of his Holiness. Amen. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah. Chazak u'baruch, strength and blessing.